Good morning. Welcome to Faith Foundations. Do you clap along with that music when we do? Because we all clap along to it in here. So I want to welcome you, those of you watching all around the world. I want to welcome all of you that are here locally. We are a local and a global church.
Hallelujah.
That's a good thing, isn't it? So I'm Greg Stevens. I'm an associate pastor, and I am filling in for Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson this morning. And what an honor and a privilege it is to do so. Are you ready today?
Yes.
Father, we bless you. We thank you. We magnify you. We glorify you. You are great and greatly to be praised. Every word that I speak, Father, may it be anointed for grace for the hearer. Wash us in your word today. That's what we ask, that we'll never be the same, that we're going from glory to glory to glory in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody that's in agreement would say amen and amen.
Amen.
I had the honor of listening to Brother Copeland this last week teach at Kenneth Copeland Bible College. And if you're not a student at KCBC, why? Why aren't you a student at KCBC? No condemnation. That just rose up. Why aren't you here? So I kept noticing in his teaching, a phrase kept popping up to me as we were going through Genesis and some other verses. And that phrase was everlasting. And it got me thinking. So let's get started. I'm talking about covenants again, but I noticed something everlasting. And as he was teaching, when he teaches, I'll have the computer on and I'll be reading it in Hebrew. Somebody says, "Why don't you bring a Torah scroll?" Because they're about this big, and I don't have one. I only have a smaller version of it. And I was reading, and I kept noticing something, and I saw a name for God, and I'll talk about it here in just a second, 1 Samuel. But there's a name that's El Olam, Everlasting God. And that got me started. So here we go. In Genesis chapter 9, God will make a covenant with Noah. Actually, that covenant involved more than just Noah, for God said, "It is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh." So it was a worldwide covenant. We know what the seal of that covenant was. It's a rainbow, right? That he's never going to destroy the earth again like he did before with the flood. So now here's the interesting thing of that. The lines of Noah, there are two sons, there's more than two sons, but two main sons that come out of Noah, Shem and Ham. And those two sons are carried throughout history. Shem's line will follow after God, the God of their father, Noah. And as a result, the line of the Messiah will come through Shem. Okay? Now, one of Shem's descendants was a guy named Terah who lived in Ur of the Chaldees in the land of Canaan. Now, here's an interesting thing. Canaan is a son of Ham. And as a matter of fact, the different tribes which occupied the land of Canaan when the children of Israel went in, they're all descendants of Ham. They all had to be removed. Isn't that interesting? So, Terah has a son. He names him Abram. Abram took a wife named Sarai. And many of their relatives, including Abraham's nephew Lot, all lived in this place called Ur. This all really came alive for me in Desert Storm. We were doing something. I just had to catch myself for a second. We were doing something, and they told us that if it goes wrong for you, there's a river, the Tigris and the Euphrates River. Now, having grown up in church, I've heard of those. He said, "Find the triangulations of the Tigris and Euphrates River." This is a briefing we're getting before we fly. And there's some ancient ruins called Ur. Now, the Chaldean people generally will be friendly to you. And I'm thinking Ur, Chaldees, Tigris, Euphrates. And all my Sunday school days are coming alive for me. And now I'm not living right for God when that happened. But I remember that. So if the plane were to go down and I need to get out, it was one of those missions where we had no patches on our uniforms. And some of the people with us weren't wearing uniforms. And so if something goes wrong, find these ruins called Ur, and then we had some other things we're supposed to do. And so when I read this, this really becomes alive for me. Now I understand why God gave me an assignment that he did concerning covenants. because I've been there. Okay. So one day God will appear to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees. And at this time, Abraham was not a righteous man. He didn't know the Lord. He worshiped the moon and the sun god. Hello. Yeah. That's Father Abraham. He was into astrology and witchcraft, and yet God approached him. God never forces anything. If he's going to bring that line back to a godly line, he couldn't force it. It had to be Abraham's will and Abraham's choice. So God approached Abram in a manner similar to the way that David will approach Mephibosheth. Okay, he's going to show him all the things that he's going to give him. So Abraham, now, you remember when I talked to you about bread, covenant of bread, and why Jesus went north to Tyre and Sidon? Abraham will have two offspring. God's going to show him a picture of the sand on the ground and the stars. He's going to paint a picture for him. He's going to have two covenant offspring, the natural seed and the son's seed. In the Greek, it's technon for natural. And Rick Renner, if you're out there, I apologize. Huios, I hope, for the spiritual sons. Now, here's the interesting thing. Now, we're part of that spiritual seed, not the natural seed, right? So people approach Jesus by faith, and he, listen to this now. Now, go pay attention to this. If people approach Jesus by faith, he called them sons or daughters. Versus, remember the woman with the whole bread thing? Entire side, he said, it's not good that I give the children's bread. Difference between children and sons. Just stew on that for a little bit. Think about that for a second. I am a son, a joint heir of Jesus Christ based on... Do you not get that? You are a son and a daughter. Based upon what Jesus... Well, let's just stop. Let me play a clip from Brother Copeland and I'll pick it up. Watch this.
If you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth that he is Lord, we just got through reading the words of that lordship, that God called him Lord. Amen? That's the word seed that brought him out of hell. Those are the exact same words. The moment you believed that he's been raised from the dead and you said, Jesus, come into my heart, I receive you. I believe with all my heart God raised you from the dead, and I confess you as my Lord. Hebrews chapter 1 was released inside you, and the very same new birth that brought him out of hell caused you to be reborn. And any man, any woman that is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. What all things? You want me to read who you... Let me read yourself to you. Thy throne, O God, is forever. King of kings. Who's the kings he's king of?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Lord of lords. Who's the lords? We are joint heirs with him. Joint heirs. Look at what it's real. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who being the brightness of his glory, express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. He has been appointed heir of all things. Well, read the 8th chapter of Romans and get happy. We are joint heirs.
Hey. It's talking about you now. Put your eyes on Genesis 15 real quickly, and I'm going to get into something. This everlasting thing. So if you're a joint heir, it's everlasting. And I want to show you something else concerning an everlasting covenant that he talks about. When that happened to you, when you accepted Jesus, your spirit man changed instantly, and you are positionally seated with him in Christ Jesus, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, your flesh is still here. Your mind, will, and emotions are still here, subject to this world. All right? Now, let me show you something. Let's look at here. In Genesis 15:1, we read this: after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Now, when he said that, God is offering him in those days his garment, his robe of righteousness. Come on, somebody. The garment represents all of his assets and everything that God is. Abraham knew exactly what was happening and what God's talking about. He's talking about covenant right here. He knew that when someone came to him and offered him a shield and his coat, he's actually saying, "I want to enter into covenant relationship with you." Remember Livingston, the spear? Okay, listen to this. Look at verse number 2. Matter of fact, I'm going to show you this on the screen. I'm going to go to it. Abraham said, "Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus?" See, he knows if the covenant is with me, it's with all of my seed. It's not just me, it's my family as well. Now, Eleazar has children. In other words, he's saying, "Lord, if I'm going to go into covenant with you, I don't have any children for this thing to keep going with." Hello. Are you going to, and so he's going to say, "Are you going to bless Eleazar?" Now, God's going to speak to him again concerning Sarah and the child that'll be born named Isaac. And he'll ask, "Well, what about Ishmael?" I see a pattern with Abraham here. All right, watch this. "Are you going to bless my steward Eleazar? Lord, what good is it going to do me for me to go in covenant? My wife is barren. I'm too old. We can't have children. And you're asking me to enter into a covenant with you." When God offers you something, he will do exceedingly abundantly above all you can think or ask. He wants that righteous line of Shem to continue. And so he takes God's imagination, he takes Abraham's imagination, God will, and stretches it as big as the heavens are. And he says, "You wanted children? You're going to have faith children that'll number like the stars of heaven." Isn't that something? He made a promise. Why is he doing this? Because he made a promise to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, that "I'll raise up from the seed a woman, I will raise up from woman a seed that will crush the head of Lucifer." Now, it looked like this line was in danger, guys, but it's not. That's why he came down and he approached Abram. "I want to be your shield. I want to be your great reward." Now, notice something. That coat and a belt or whatever didn't drop out of heaven. He didn't drop a coat down from the heavenlies. He said, "Abram, I'm your coat. I'm your shield. You don't need defenses in your hand. I'm your defense. You don't need righteousness. I'm your righteousness. Matter of fact, Abram, I'm even your seed." I will be your seed. The seed that will come forth out of me will be through your line. My God. So he calls him Lord there. So the Hebrew word for Lord used in verses 1, 6, and 7 in this is a word that we pronounce Jehovah in English. Hebrew has no pronunciation for it. It's actually the Hebrew. In Hebrew, there's no vowels. There it is right there. That's Jehovah. Yod, hey, vav, hey. Okay? That's it. It's a J. The J is like, if I'd say in Hebrew, if your name is Benjamin, anybody in here named Benjamin? Benjamin, your name was Benjamin in Hebrew. The J is a Y sound. So you can say Yahweh as well. Does that help? Give me any clarity? And so as you look at this, he starts this off, verse 9. Let me show you verse 9 of chapter 15. Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. I always wonder, why all these critters? And then right here he says, and he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece of one against the others. But look at this. But the birds he divided not. He didn't divide the birds. But he divided all the others. And so I was wondering, why, Lord? And I said, I remembered Jesus fulfilled everything that happened in the previous covenant. And so if you, I'm going to call an audible here. Isaiah 53, and Isaiah, keep your place there in that. But let's go to Isaiah, is it 53 or 54, that we get a picture of 53. Yeah. And it pleased the Lord to bruise him and make him grief. Talking about Jesus, this is looking at the cross, looking at Jesus being paying the price for this. But look at verse 12. Therefore, I will divide him a portion. I will divide him. And I look at this and I'm like, okay, when Jesus was divided, spirit, soul, body, divided from the Father at Calvary, that's going back to this over here in Abraham where he divided those pieces. Had the Lord showed me that. I'm like, look at that. Isn't that interesting? He said, and I had some folks that weren't real happy with me last week when I said that God didn't turn his back on Jesus. Matter of fact, yes, he did, because he was sin. Listen, let me tell you something about the Father with sin. He's so not afraid of sin that Jesus ate and woman washed his feet. The religious people would say, why is he in that house? Those are sinners. Why did he call this guy named Levi, who's Matthew, who's a sinner, to be his disciples? Why would he call any of you who were sinners? Or you. Matter of fact, He's not afraid of sin. He's not repulsed by sin. He became it. Stay with me. Matter of fact, Jesus would give an example of the prodigal son. And the father ran toward that son. Hallelujah. Didn't run from him or turn away from him. Ran to him.
Glory.
Let's just keep going. Am I all right? They brought security in. I got to watch out. Verse 10 tells us that Abraham did what God asked. Now look at this. He has to keep the animals off of that. He's keeping the buzzards off of those pieces all day. Remember that? It's right there. And I got to, and the Lord dropped this in my spirit. Jesus taught us that immediately Satan comes to steal the word. That's what the vultures were doing. And so our job is to keep him off of the sacrifice. Keep him off your seed. Keep him off of the word that's sown. Father, I pray right now the word that's being sown in people today will not be stolen. In Jesus' name. So, look at this. All of these animals brought forth represents the Lord Jesus Christ. They fall into the following two categories. Now, think about it. We had animals that walked the earth and animals that flew above the earth. Right? So the three that walk the earth represent Jesus' humanity. The two birds that fly represent his deity. And you didn't divide the deity. There's no division between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And man is a three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. Which can be divided. The word can, is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing even, come on. Stay with me. You see it? And I understood then why this is happening. So the two that entered the covenant, if you go on down, you'll see that what happens is Abraham, well, an angel just pins him down. He's slain in the spirit. It says that he's in a trance. And it says that the two that entered the covenant talks about a furnace and a lamp. I'm like, well, what is the furnace and the lamp that are walking in between the pieces? The furnace is God the Father. He is a consuming fire, burning up all sin that comes into his presence. The lamp is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the lamp of our path and the light of our way. So he's the lamp and the Father. So the Father and the Son in our place is doing this. Now, this had already been done before time began. But it's being played out right here. Because this covenant was between God the Father and the Lord Jesus, the Hebrews, in Hebrews it says that I've entered into a covenant with God, which by two immutable or unchangeable things cannot be broken. Because the spirit realm, Jesus the Father and the Holy Spirit, cannot be separated. They're one. Jesus will even pray, may they be one as we are one. The Jesus says, the words that I speak are the words that the Father says. Right? The Holy Spirit speaks not of himself, but only of Jesus. See that? See how they all work together? Glory to God. So let's get going. God the Father is unchangeable. The Lord Jesus Christ is unchangeable. And Abraham got to enter by faith into an unbreakable, unchangeable covenant drawn up between two personalities that cannot lie and that will not change their mind. My covenant will I not break. And Abraham was not part of that covenant, except that he's the beneficiary recipient of it. You see that? Glory to God. Glory to God. So I began to notice then, after the circumcision exchange of names where God put his name in Abram and his name in Sarah, he begins to use this term three times in Genesis 17. This is what I was noticing when Brother Copeland was teaching. Everlasting. Everlasting. The word that means everlasting is Hebrew is olam. Everlasting. It references a covenant. Now listen to this. A covenant. Can I show you this? Let me show you this. Look at this. A covenant made in eternity, not in time. Time was created for us. God is pre-time and post-time. There's coming a time when time will end. And if you only knew how close you are, you would be about the Father's business at a level that the world has never seen. And one of these days, as soon as I get released on my spirit to do it, I'll show you something. Woo, Lord Jesus. So it's a covenant made in eternity, not time. Now, matter of fact, so everlasting, everlasting. I want to talk about everlasting, but let me show you something else first. There's another word. Over in 1 Samuel, we can leave there. Let me show you 1 Samuel. There's another word in Hebrew. And this one stood out to me, 1 Samuel 15. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 29. And I'm going to go to the screen right here when they get that up, and I'm going to show you something. Here it is. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he's not a man that he should repent. Now, what is that? Why did that jump out at me? What jumped out at me for two reasons. One, strength of Israel is capitalized. Now, it's a different word. In the Hebrew, it is a word, netzach. And what does that mean? It's only used eight times. Eight times in the Bible. But here it's capitalized. Matter of fact, there's a popular Jewish name, Nili, which comes from this. Saul is being rejected. Let's put this verse in context. Saul is being rejected, and the prophet is telling him there's another one after you. And Nisak means it is eternal. It means eternal, but it's capitalized. So it's talking about an eternal person. It's the only place that you see this. Can I show it to you? I don't know if you have it or not, but the Orthodox Jewish Bible. Let's read it from the Orthodox Jewish Bible. And also, the Netzach Yisrael, Eternal One of Israel. That's a person. Eternity. That's God of eternity. Will not lie nor relent, for he is not an Adam. He's not a man. Woo! A second Adam is going to come along and remaster us. That he should change his mind. So the covenants that he made, he will not change his mind about this. See, let me tell you something concerning healing. You have a covenant. Purchased by Jesus. He's not going to change his mind about that. Poverty was part of the curse. You have a covenant that overcomes poverty. It's an eternal covenant before time, after time, and during time. Oh, goodness. You'll never be broke another day in your life. You'll never be sick another day in your life. Because you have a covenant that's eternal that was made long before we ever were and will exist long after. Jesus. All right, let me get back here. Where was I at? I talked about the furnace and the lamp. Okay, time, guys, was made for us. So this is an all-encompassing everlasting covenant, El Olam. The other covenants were revealed in time. Noah, Abraham, David, Moses, they're all revealed in our time frame. All right? Man was not a part of the everlasting covenant. It was made for us, but we weren't in it. It wasn't cut between us. It was cut with the Father. It says concerning Jesus from the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. We're the object of this covenant. This covenant is revealing the Father, guys, as being eternal. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is present everywhere. Listen to this now. He is righteous. He is love. He is faithful. Now, we saw it with Brother Copeland a while ago. If you're a joint heir of that, now you have access to that based upon that covenant. So you have the mind of Christ. You have access to all knowledge. My goodness. Let the weak say, I am strong. You have access to all of his power. Hallelujah. He's present everywhere. He's unchanging. You should be unchanging. This is why James is going to write, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I'm not unchanging. I make decisions. I can make decisions. Yes. I'm telling you something. Let me take a little rabbit trail. You got to get that out of your life. Where do you want to go eat? Oh, I don't know. I don't care. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Well, how about here? No, I don't want there. I thought you said you didn't care. Well, I don't want there. Well, how about this place? How about that place? I don't know. That's fine with me. Okay, well, let's go there. You know, on second thought. Now, I know it's just a simple thing and we're laughing about it because we've all done it. But you're sowing to double-mindedness. You're yielding your members, you're yielding your mind to being double-minded.
Tell them about it. Wow.
In the smallest, simplest thing. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care one way or the other. I don't know. Maybe so. I think so. Oh, I don't know. You know, now I think about it. Oh, I'm not, I went to meddle in a little bit, did I? No, I do it too. And so I'm learning to let my yes be yes and my no be no. You know what? Let's do that. And we'll do the other tomorrow. That doesn't mean I'm being a slave driver with my family. I want input. But once you know, you know. Okay, then. He's self-existent. He is holy. Listen, as he is, so am I in this world. I'm seen as holy. He sees me that way. He is righteous. Guess what? I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He is loved. Let me tell you what you are. You better be. One of my favorite people. I shouldn't say that. I have a lot of favorite people here in the pastoral staff. There's one that just makes me smile. His joy and his exuberance and his hunger for the things of God. Pastor Kent. You know Kent? Pastor Kent, we'll be talking about something in a pastor's meeting, and he'll go, "I just love everybody. I love everybody." And at first I thought he was just being Tennessee, but no, he does. Now, I can say that because my family, my people are from Tennessee, from the hills of Tennessee. Amen. I speak hillbilly. I speak Tennessee. And at first I thought he was just, you know, but he means it. I love everybody. And he does. And if you watch his life, he does. He just loves everybody. That's the way we ought to be. Because he is love, we're love. Because the love of God's been shed abroad where? In my heart. I need to let it from in here get out here. I'm preaching to me too. He's faithful. Guess what you are? What did Jesus talk about all the time? Faithful servants.
Yes.
Faithful stewards.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. So this eternal covenant, guys, is a spiritual one. It's not bound to this earth. All other covenants will tap into it or have elements of it, but it's eternal. So what are the words? What are the benefits of this covenant? What are the benefits of it? Well, let me tell you. Everlasting blessing.
Amen.
Everlasting blessing. The blessing is part of this everlasting eternal covenant. Well, is there a curse to it? Yeah, I'll show it to you in a second. There's an everlasting priesthood in this covenant. There's so many numerous promises. Let me show you several verses. Let's begin, and I'll pick it up here with these verses. I got to pick up the pace. John 17, verse 5. Jesus is speaking. This is the last instructions to the disciples during a covenant meal. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. There's part of the everlasting covenant. Woo! Look at verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. That's part of your covenant. That's where you're headed. You can find it in Ephesians 1:4 and Ephesians chapter 3. The promise of the everlasting is the blessing, guys. So let's talk about this. So everlasting blessing, everlasting priesthood. How about this one? Everlasting life. You can find it in 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. But let me read you this verse. Let me show you Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 in verse 2. In hope of eternal life. There it is. Which God that cannot lie. Oh, this is sounding familiar. Promised when? Is that in your Bible or is that just in mine? Let me look. Let's look at the screen. Oh, there it is on the screen. The hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. It's eternal. It's everlasting. Glory to God. Look at verse 3. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. The words of the new covenant are actually the words of the eternal covenant. Let me help you understand this. The words of the eternal covenant are actually so closely tied to the words of the new covenant that you live in. And the reason I say that is positionally, you're already in the everlasting covenant because you're born again. you're already in both covenants. This is why you can't flirt around with or try to be in a third one, the covenant of Moses, which passed away.
Makes sense.
You don't got enough bandwidth to try to be in three covenants and keep all of them. You're in the new covenant, which puts you in the everlasting covenant.
Yes.
My God. Yes. My God. Because you're already positioned with him. You're already seated with him. You're just not there yet. Oh, but that's part of the eternal covenant. All right? The words of the new covenant are actually the eternal covenant we have been promised. Here's the next one. Immortality. You've been given immortality. So this mortality will put off in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We shall be changed. We don't know what we will, but we appear, but we'll be new. This we'll be like him. See, mortality is death doomed. Okay, immortality changes death. How many of you are born again in this room? Let me help you with something. Let me take some fear away from you. You will not taste the fear, the sting of death. For when that time comes, that angel will just reach right in there to your spirit, man, just like when you were raised with him, and take you to where you're seated. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You will. Now, that's not, if you're not a believer, that's not the case for you. But if you're a believer, that's exactly what's happened. You won't feel the pain of this thing. And your loved one did not feel the pain of it.
Nope.
Just boom, out. One breath here and one breath there. Glory to God. Glory to God. That ought to bring, this is why we don't fear death. Yeah, well, I got this pain. I got this and I don't know. You're going to have to either use your faith to stay here or use your faith and be healed, or use your faith to go home. Make a choice. It takes faith, either one. But I'm telling you, you have a covenant. You have a covenant that says you don't have to be sick and broke and hurt, and you can just go when it's time to go.
Yeah, amen.
The way you want to. With long life will I satisfy him.
Amen.
You go when you're satisfied. That's when you go, when you're satisfied.
Amen?
Amen. Either we believe this or we don't. So next we have an everlasting kingdom. I'm showing you all the places I find this thing. We will inherit that. We have an eternal inheritance, guys. Well, what's part of that eternal inheritance? Oh, the same things I mentioned a while ago. Everlasting love. Let me tell you what heaven's like. Everlasting love, everlasting joy, everlasting strength. Everlasting right. You have everlasting righteousness. How long is your righteousness? Everlasting. It's as long and as big as God himself. Because it's not your righteousness. My God, it's Jesus' righteousness in you. And the Father has to reject and separate himself from Jesus now for your righteousness not to be good. Because it's in him. Glory to God. You have no check. You're not ready for this one. Brace yourself. Here it comes. You have everlasting name. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Listen, when I was looking at this thing, next to Abraham's name, you find an Aleph Tav untranslated. And the same thing with Sarah. And it wasn't there prior to that. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I did a whole message on that. I'll revisit it someday. Everlasting righteousness, everlasting name. Listen, what it means is he put his initials on your life. Glory to God. The spirit world can see it. They can see the circumcision of your heart. You have an everlasting habitation. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. An everlasting priesthood. You've been called kings and priests. After what? The order of Melchizedek, right? Wait right there. That's Jesus. Read that in Hebrews. He is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, wait a minute. Let's walk this out. If he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and I'm part of his body, I'm in him. You're in Melchizedek. Oh my God, what I just said to you. You're in Melchizedek.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Woo-hoo-hoo! That changes a lot of stuff. Let that sink into you for a second. Well, I don't know who Melchizedek is. It's a title. You're in that. Dear God. Kings and priests unto God eternally. Right? Okay, so now there are curses to the everlasting covenant that should be avoided. And they're very simple to avoid them. You accept Jesus as your Savior. Confess him as Lord. It's done. Let me tell you what the curses are. The lake of fire, eternal shame, everlasting punishment, the second death. That's the curses. That's what you've been redeemed from. That's stuff you'll never experience. And all the things that come with the curse in this natural realm, sickness. You are righteous. You're in the blessing. You have a covenant that's eternal and everlasting. So healing belongs to you. Your mental capacity will not diminish because you have the mind of Christ. It's an eternal covenant. I know I'm with you, brother. Thank you. I had one jump up and shout right there. I get it. Woo! I'm telling you, this is the answer to dementia and Alzheimer's right there. I have a covenant! Listen, you do it all the time with tithing. How many of you have said it? I have tithers' rights. Well, let me expand it. You have covenant rights. Because that's part of the covenant. Listen, Melchizedek, right? Abraham, the father of your faith, what did he do? To Melchizedek. There you go. Put a bow on that one. The terms of this covenant, in order to miss those curses, are very simple. It's very simple. The terms are very simple. Faith. Believe on the Son of God. That's how you miss the curses of it. Love. Love him. Keep his commandments, which are not burdensome, are not grievous. They're easy. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, he says. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, obedience unto Jesus. Let me show it to you. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him. Listen to me. How long is that salvation? Eternal, meaning there's no time on it. It's not a Twinkie that expires. I never understood cheese in my refrigerator. It says aged 3 years or 5 years, and it lasts a week in my fridge. Why don't you age it a week and let it last 5 years? I mean, just reverse that for me. Never mind. I was doing good till I got off on that. So listen, let me wrap this up. We have two seals to this eternal covenant. Number one is the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:39. He's the promise of the Father. He's the spirit of promise, or he's the earnest payment. He is the first fruits, guys. For the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The promise of the Holy Spirit. That's the baptism of Jesus. John baptized with water. Jesus baptized with Holy Ghost and fire. You need to experience the baptism of Jesus in your life. Uh-oh. So the first promise of the sealing or the seal of this covenant is the Holy Spirit in you. He's the promise of the Father. He's the promise of the earnest. He's the first fruits. You can find it in Romans chapter 8 and Ephesians, 2 Corinthians. He's the promise. How many of you are spirit filled? Can speak in tongues? Can you do it right now? 2 seconds or 5 seconds. Go. Let me just tell you what just happened. You're edifying yourself, building up yourself, but let me just tell you what just happened. You proved to your flesh, you proved to your soul that you're sealed in the promise of the eternal covenant. Because you can't do that. You just proved to your soulish man that I'm in this covenant. How many of you ever lost the Holy Spirit? You had it. You forgot how to do this. I lost it. I don't know. I feel lost. No, I'm with you always. He's in your spirit, man. Now you can lose relationship, fellowship, and get out of here. Okay. Number two. Number two seal of this covenant. You have not received yet, but you will. You want to know what it is? Here it comes. A glorified body. You're still living in this suit. Jesus already has a glorified body. You don't. But because he does, you know you're getting one. Oh, God. No, Annette, did you catch it? You caught it, didn't you? You're going to, because he has it, you're going to have it. He's the only one with one. Glory to God. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit, there's coming a day where the trump will sound and a shout, and your mortal body is going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye. Even the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, and I believe that I am speaking to people right now that will be here when he returns. I firmly believe it, and I could show it to you out of the book of Daniel. I firmly believe it. Glory to God. This physical body is going to put on immortality. You are going to, listen to me. Now listen to this. You are going to live in you have a glorified spirit now. A new creation that never existed before. Would you agree with me on that? Your flesh, your body has been at war with your spirit ever since it got born again. Come on now. It's the truth. This is why you have to put your members under and be led by the Spirit. As many are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons, spiritual seed. They're the sons of God. But there's coming a day when what you see here was going to be changed. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I do know this, it's going to look like him. See, I'm looking at a bunch of spirits that are already there, but your flesh hasn't gotten there yet. Your soul hasn't gotten there yet, but there's coming a day, my friend, and it's very, very, very soon when a trumpet and a shout's going to happen and this will be changed. It will be transformed. Well, how do you know that's true? Because the word says that's true and the word is. And I also know that because that's part of my twofold promise in the eternal covenant. Number one, he gave me the Holy Spirit and my spirit's already there. This is why we're not of this world, yet we're in this world. But the second part of that, that's the down payment. The payment in full will be when your body will transform and you will walk you'll walk and you'll run and you'll shout and you'll dance in a glorified body. No more pain, no more wrinkles, no more aging, no more. Come on, somebody in this. No more. No more. No more getting up like this. Come on. That's what we've got to look forward to. Do you have the Holy Spirit in you?
Yes.
Then you have that to look forward to. That's what's coming. Jesus is already there. He's got a glorified body. His blood is on the mercy seat in heaven right now. And you are positionally with him. And there'll come a day when you won't be positionally with him. You'll be physically with him. And all of those saints that have gone before, they're in the spirit realm right now. All of their bodies will go and be transformed too. Glory to God. We'll see Abraham in a glorified body. David in a glorified body. Mary, the mother of Jesus, in a glorified body. Your loved one that you saw pass away and they were old and wore out. They won't be old and wore out. You'll look at them and go, woo, and you'll know who they are. But you'll say, you think, man, I would love to have seen Uncle so-and-so when he was young. You will. That's our hope, guys. That's what our faith is. That's part of our everlasting covenant. And it's just as real as your healing. It's just as real as your prosperity. And that's what we've got before us. Listen, when Jesus did the covenant meal, he said, I won't do this again until I'm with you. Yes. Part of what communion, part of the marriage supper of the Lamb will be, he's going to take communion with you. We take it here, but he's going to take it with you. He's going to hand it over to you. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Glory to God. We got that to look forward to. Amen. So healing is part of your covenant. Are you ready to receive?
Yeah.
Amen and amen. Pastor George is coming right up. Michelle, over to you.
Thank you.